Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. And I want to tell everyone around the world that during the course of the show for the past hour, we've had this beautiful sunlight come in, and it started coming in, it's really started coming in during the last hour with Zora and Billy from the Hollow Earth, and now it's very bright, and I'm so happy. The spirits are here. I can feel all the angels around me, and it feels like this whole studio has lit up in this beautiful white light. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to tell everyone that twice next year, from January 23rd to February 7th, and again from May 17th to June 5th, I'll be taking a small group of people to Peru to visit one of the world's most spiritual places, Machu Picchu. We'll also be visiting Cusco and Ollantaytambo, Pisac in the Sacred Valley, the Nazca Lines, and an incredible place called Paracas, which on the coast of Peru, it's a beautiful resort area, which actually has a museum of hybrid human and extraterrestrial skulls. We'll also be meeting local Inca shaman, who will be giving healing sessions for those who want it, as well as side trips to the Amazon jungle and other archaeological sites will also be available for those who want to go. The cost is only $497 with airfare and accommodations extra. There was a special going on some months ago from Vancouver down to Lima for only $216 U.S. dollars round trip. There are continuing to be specials, so if you can get to the Vancouver airport, there are some very good deals right now down to Peru. Psychic readings will also be available, and I'll also be giving free classes on contacting the ancient Inca. I've had a previous life among the ancient Inca, and my brother from the ancient Inca is here with me all the time now. He's one of my guides. And I've also been told that I'll be going into the Hollow Earth in January 2020 when we visit Machu Picchu. They've told me where to go and how to do it, so I sincerely hope you can come. I'll also be going back to Mount Shasta twice next year, from July 1st to the 8th, and again from August 27th to September 3rd, 2020. There's incredible miracle healings have occurred on Mount Shasta, including the restoration of my eyesight to crystal clear 20/10 vision in both eyes, the healing, spontaneous healing of a lady who had Lyme disease for 20 years was spontaneously healed in September of this year. Another lady back in 2017 was literally given a new pair of legs. She was crippled, but given a new pair of legs by the Talosians. In a spacecraft above our campsite. But there's so many amazing things to talk about the trip. Now, the other thing happening, too, is that in July 2020, Mount Shasta is scheduled to shift into the fifth dimension. So the people of Telos should be walking around us at the campsite when we're there. So if you want to go, please let me know. The trip is filling up. The cost is just $200 per person. If you're interested, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. There's also a group called Citizens Against 5G to stop a new 5G cell tower in the Yelm, Washington area south of Seattle. They're working hard to stop, but they do need donations would be appreciated to help pay for some legal expenses and a lawyer. If you'd like to help, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Your help and support are really appreciated. And now, what I'd like to do is bring on my good friend, Jason Armstrong, from beautiful Vancouver, Canada. Jason has been on my trips before, and he experienced a miracle healing with his eyesight as well, which was spontaneously healed in September of 2018. At the same time, my eyesight was also healed. Jason had been wearing glasses for many years, and after experiencing a miracle healing, he took his glasses off and threw them away. Didn't need them anymore. But anyway, I'd like to bring on Jason now from Vancouver, Canada. Jason, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm well, Ted. How are you?
Oh, fine. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Seattle. It's cold, but we just had this outpouring of all this beautiful sunlight into the studio, and I can feel there's tons of angelic light all around us, and it feels so good to be here today. I'm so glad you could come on.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, Jason, I hope can come back on our with me to Mount Shasta next year. I always enjoy talking to him there. And it should be really interesting, Jason, especially in July, because Shasta is supposed to shift into the fifth dimension, or we're supposed to shift into the fifth dimension. And one of the first places to do that shift will be the Shasta area. And when it does, the Telosians and Adama actually should be walking around us, and we won't need to do we'll still need to do meditations, but they will be physically there in the same dimension, in other words. So it should be a real interesting interesting time.
That'd be an amazing experience.
It's not very often people here can witness the transition from one dimension to another. And myself, I've been here tens of thousands of years waiting for this moment to happen. So I'm quite excited. And I know there's some good times. But I think I'm going to be quiet now so you can bring in Adama. And I'd love to hear his messages for humanity.
Okay, just give me a moment.
Okay.
Good day to all you beautiful beings. How are you?
Oh, Adama, it's so good to hear from you. I'm so glad you could come on and share your wisdom with us. Thank you so much for coming on my show.
You're welcome, Ted. It's always a joy.
Thank you, Adama. Thank you so much. What do you see happening? I always like to ask this question. What do you see happening in the next 3 to 6 months here on the planet?
As the energies are continually increasing, there will be pockets, there will be transition to the fifth dimension, and after that, the entire Earth will. During this transition, it will not be easy. So everyone just keeps positive. Put out to the universe what you want, and you'll get that. When you're looking at all the negativity, just realize it's always been there. Just not coming to the surface to be seen. So let it go. And continue. Also, to help the transition, continue to work on yourself as it's an inner journey. As one continues to clear out their distortions, old programs, and beliefs, that feeds into the collective consciousness and helps to clear that as well. Also, as the Earth rises in vibration, more of the negative beings will not be able to live here anymore.
Interesting.
They are being removed, but it's a process.
Sure.
It's not going to happen instantaneously, as there are many factors that are in play on this Earth plane. So I continue?
Yes, and actually, if I may, I'd like to ask a quick question, and then please continue, Adama. So let's say someone's negative now, but then they start waking up with the rising vibrations. I realize this is a planet of free choice, but can they basically ascend with the planet if they make the right choices still, or is it too late for them?
There is always time if one is willing to do the work.
Okay.
But in this late hour, one will have quite a journey to get there.
Right.
So if they're sincere and work on themselves, they can ascend if that's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
One does not have to be perfect to ascend. One just has to be over 51% service to others. and they will ascend.
Okay.
Remember, this journey does not end when one ascends or goes elsewhere. It's a lifetime journey. Mm-hmm. Each level, I mentioned, is another journey.
Mm-hmm.
The journey never ends.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're all going, getting our way back to source.
Mm-hmm.
And just because the being has been negative in the past does not mean that being will not ascend as long as they make the right choices
mm-hmm.
and clear themselves. Now I'll continue.
Yes, continue. Please continue.
And so as these energies are rising,
mm-hmm.
all will have their stuff come up to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nowhere for it to hide anymore.
Oh, okay.
You see it as something dense, negative, that needs to be seen for what it is and released.
Mm-hmm.
Not released, it's a projection onto others, but taking responsibility for one's choices in the past and forgiving themselves for that and releasing it.
Mm-hmm.
Give as much love to oneself as possible. When one does that, it also raises their vibration.
Mm-hmm.
When one loves oneself, then they can give love to another and send love to others.
Mm-hmm.
There are various groups that seem to be working on their own, but it's not. It's a group effort.
Mm-hmm.
There are many groups helping Gaia and humanity to ascend.
Mm-hmm.
The groups and their ships will not intervene unless asked to. And even then, it depends on the energies and what the consequences are.
Mm-hmm.
But realize that all will work out the way it needs to. Source has decreed that Gaia will ascend. It will go through.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, this is a battle for man's consciousness. It's not over yet. Keep strong, keep pushing forward, and never give up. Also,
mm-hmm.
with our neighbors and other beings, if one gives you negativity, not react right away. Stop. Assess oneself if that's their distortion or is that somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
And then clear that energy.
Mm-hmm.
One does not have to react to another's action.
Mm-hmm.
Help them to clear. Clear the energy, clear the field, and you'll see it. Situation calms down.
Mm-hmm.
Also, everyone is going to be tested by their higher self during this process.
Mm-hmm.
But just remember that all challenges are meant to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
And the solution is not always what one thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Just be in a calm, balanced state and accept and allow. It'll be a smoother ride.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I continue?
Yes, please. Yes, please. Go right ahead.
Now, as we're getting closer to the event, there may be anomalies when experiences. One might be in more contact with beings. From other planets, galaxies, universes.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, not be in fear always feel the energy of the ones being contacted. Mm-hmm. Is the energy benevolent? Mm-hmm. Or is it negative? And your body will tell you when is in able to receive. Mm-hmm. Not all beings are benevolent. All beings have their own agenda. But their energy signature will not be able to lie to another being. Mm-hmm. Feel their energy, and you'll know where they come from. Mm-hmm. And in the news, a lot of negativity is going to be coming out, as it cannot be hidden anymore. Mm-hmm. But one does not have to be attached to it. Mm-hmm. Let it go, and not everything that's said in the news is the truth.
Right.
Again, one needs to feel it, whether that's truth for one or not. Mm-hmm. Also, the truth for one is not necessarily the same truth for another.
Good point.
Two beings may experience the same event and will have a different truth based on their perspectives, reference points, and where they're coming from. So we need to respect another's truth, but one does not have to agree with it. Mm-hmm. Get to a point where humanity can be in harmony, not necessarily agree with another being, but respect them. Because everyone's been on a different path to get here. That will also influence one's truth. Mm-hmm. And remember, truth is fluid. It is not stagnant. As one rises in their consciousness, the truth will change. Mm-hmm. As one's perspective will change. Mm-hmm. Just being in that knowingness.
I wanted to ask, Adam, I hope you don't mind me asking, as we shift into this higher dimension, what will happen to health? Will we live longer? And will the so-called medical profession in the United States and other countries, will it remain the same or necessarily change with this new spiritual shift?
Anything that is not in alignment with the higher energies will disappear. The health of all beings will get better. Okay. Technologies will come out. They're in alignment with the higher energies. And each being will realize that they can heal themselves. Right. One does not need a machine or someone else to heal oneself when one realizes who they are. Mm-hmm. An eternal spiritual being is fully capable but he's still healing themselves. Mm-hmm. That'll be common among humans mm-hmm. in the higher dimensions. Mm-hmm. Also, humanity will live longer as the environment will support that.
Mm-hmm. Oh. This is a wonderful future, Adama. Thank you so much for sharing that. Please continue.
It is a beautiful future. Mm-hmm. And for all to enjoy each moment the fullest. And to be in their joy. Do whatever brings one's joy. If something doesn't bring joy, don't do it. There are lots of tools out there for one to use. It's not a journey by oneself. The tools will come to you in your reality, and the vibrations are matched. Mm-hmm. One just has to be open to receiving it. Mm-hmm. will be in abundance in the future. All beings will experience abundance. Not just this money, just everything. Love, joy, peace, passion.
Mm-hmm.
As part of transition, humanity will get there. Mm-hmm. As with any transition, it can be challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Roads can seem to go on forever. But there is an end.
Mm-hmm.
Transformation coming.
Mm-hmm.
Know that within your heart.
Okay.
That's just a transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And Gaia, yes, there will be more earth changes, volcanoes,
mm-hmm.
earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Gaia changing.
Mm-hmm.
Hold that in your heart. Do not be in fear. The fear lowers your vibration and brings that into your reality.
Mm-hmm.
Just know what's going on. Drop the mainstream news. One does not have to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
That also lowers one's vibration.
Mm-hmm.
That's their goal.
Right.
Send out as much negativity as possible.
Right.
But also, in the alternative news, not all is truth as well.
Mm-hmm.
It comes back to the same thing. I'm going to repeat. Because in the higher realms, it's repetition.
Mm-hmm.
Feel the energy. Anything you come in contact with, feel the energy. And you'll know whether to listen or to drop it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there can be new technology coming out. No more fossil fuels
mm-hmm.
or gas.
Mm-hmm.
That is raping the Gaia every time you take the oil out to her.
Oh.
To take out her lifeblood.
Sure, absolutely.
And Gaia knows changing because she's already changed.
Sure.
Spiritually.
Right.
Just the physicality. And humanity that needs to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Remember to trust the divine plan. It is in motion. It is moving through. Hold that knowingness within your heart. And you'll be led to the right path. And not all beings want to ascend. Some are here just to experience.
Right, right.
Then go.
Right.
Others will go back to their planet.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to the ship.
Sure.
Some will go into inner Earth. Some will go into hollow Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on the soul's choice and what their mission is.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep that in mind when you see someone else who's not on your same path.
Mm-hmm.
And know that all are on their own path. And to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
And one will come into the beings they need to be in contact with on their path.
Mm-hmm.
Just allow it. Do not put a time stamp on it.
Mm-hmm.
That is another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Humanity on the surface likes to put time on something. Everything will happen when it's meant to, when energies are in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's higher self is directing this play.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that it'll happen when it's meant to.
Okay.
Do not rush it.
Okay.
Okay, he went back.
Oh, he did. Okay. Adama?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for all your sharing, all your beautiful messages with us today. It's really enjoying it. Really enjoying all these words of wisdom. And I think that after the trip, especially the trips to Shasta, we're getting protection, aren't we? I think we're getting some protection. I ask for protection every day, actually. Have you gotten missed?
Yeah, we are protected.
Yeah, we're getting protected. Yeah, which is good, Well, my friends, I'll be returning to Mount Shasta July 1st through the 8th next year, as well as from August 27th to September 3rd. And if you can come along the trip, you'll be able to meet Jason. He's an amazing fellow. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. And Jason, before we go, are there any other parting words of wisdom you'd like to share with us today?
Just continue working on yourself. I found that helped me to cleared all that junk out of me. I feel much lighter. Mm-hmm. Feel more calm. Be able to handle the stuff that comes our way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And just to trust the divine plan.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's challenging sometimes, or hard.
Yeah.
But we need to keep that trust.
Sure, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Jason, it's been so good having you on my show, and so thank you so much for channeling our beautiful friend Adama from Telos in the Hollow Earth. Oh, I just heard a thank you from him. So
yeah, and I saw his hand on his heart.
Yeah, very nice. Very, very nice. Very, very nice. You know, the Telosians, when they greet each other, I'm told they put both hands over their heart like this. For you, those of you on YouTube on the station, if you go to www.1150kknw.com and you click on YouTube, you can actually see me here in the studio. I'm putting both of my hands over my heart. That's how they greet each other in Telos, in the Hollow Earth. The Pleiadians, in comparison, I'm told, they'll take their right hand and put it over their heart. But it's the same thing. They laugh when I tell the history of how people got to be shaking hands here on planet Earth. It comes from, I think, 11th century England, where the knights would drop their swords so they'd shake their hands so they wouldn't backstab each other in the back. So I think we're past that today. People don't walk around with swords anymore, and it's a nice way to greet people if you put both your hands over your heart and send them lots of love and light. So anyway, Jason, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it, and can't wait to see you next year at Mount Shasta. It should be a fascinating time with
be amazing. Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone listening today, let's all wish Jason and his beautiful family here a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. It's a little early, but thought we could do that now. And with a big thanks for coming on today.
Well, thanks, Dad.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, anyway, Jason, I hope you have a wonderful holiday with your beautiful family, and thank you so much again for sharing your wisdom with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. You have an amazing holiday as well, Ted.
Okay. Thank you, Jason, so much. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks.
All right, great. That was my good friend Jason coming to us live from beautiful Vancouver, Canada, just now with messages from Adama. And he will be coming with us to Mount Shasta next year, again from July 1st to the 8th, and August 27th to September 3rd. If you are interested in going, please contact me. Both trips are actually filling up pretty rapidly, and I will be putting a limit on the number of people coming. So if you are interested, please contact me as soon as possible. Next, my next guest for this final segment is Matthew Hines. Matthew's a great guy. He's a paranormal researcher. I met him last weekend in Ocean Shores. He produces films and documentaries on Sasquatch, UFOs, and paranormal events. His website is www.encountersusa.com. He has a twice weekly YouTube channel and is a published author on UFOs and extraterrestrials. Matthew, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Thanks a lot for having me on Out of This World Radio.
Oh, my pleasure, Matt. My pleasure. I have forgotten we were going to have you on Skype. My apologies. I gave your number to my producer, Eric. He was going to call you. But anyway, it's coming in pretty crystal clear with Skype, so I'm happy about that. You know, Matthew, I want to ask you, How I always like to ask this question: how did you start on your on this spiritual journey or your own quest to do paranormal research? I mean, you know, some people become doctors, some lawyers, some engineers, some, you know, work at all different people work in all different kinds of occupations. How did you start on this particular path of life?
Well, and just I'll point out professionally, I am a teacher. I'm a certified teacher in Washington State. And my interest in the paranormal, I guess, started out from, you know, my religion. And when I was younger, I was just taught that, you know, there are a lot of things that we know, but there are a lot of things that we don't know. And the world is full of mystery, and we just don't know what everything is, and we don't know exactly what happened in the past, et cetera, et cetera. And when you get into, I guess the catalyst at one point was, I was a young man, I was in the army, and I read, The Chariots of the Gods.
Oh, from Von Daniken.
Von Daniken.
Oh yeah. Right.
And then that just, you know, okay, that's it. You know, that really makes sense.
Sure.
Because when you get and you talk about, I've got a book about, you know, this whole topic. But when you start talking about religion and things in the past, there's always the issue of vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
So with that disconnect, I mean, vocabulary changes every generation. And so when you're talking about going back 200 or 300 years and then trying to say that you really understand what the meaning of a certain type of word is, especially when you're dealing with a technology that somebody doesn't understand, then that really leaves it open. And at some point in time, you can't take everything literally. Mm-hmm. So there's more out there.
Sure.
And I've had I haven't had any personal what I would call encounters with Bigfoot or aliens, whatever. But it's just that the fact that so much evidence is out there, and just because it's so obvious what the answers to these things are, it's really a no-brainer. And so I've just been interested in it ever since I was a kid. And I just have the unique, I guess, kind of sometimes bothersome ability to take seemingly disconnected facts, mm-hmm. and tidbits of information, and then remember them and put them together into some, you know, greater context.
Well,
and so we'll go ahead. I'm sure you want to ask another question, and then I think you want to ask me how I got into this particular field. But go ahead and ask your next question, Ted.
Oh, yeah, Matt. Anyway, it's so good to have you on today. It's fun talking to you, Matt. Listen, I wanted to share something with you. If you like Eric Von Daniken, Chariots of the Gods, I think he talks about the Nazca Lines in that book. I'm trying to remember. Or he's talked about it in other research. I'm going to the Nazca Lines in January, end of January, and also again in May. And you, I'd love to have you come along with us if you like. It'd be fun.
Oh,
not that expensive.
That's way out of our price range. We're just we're not nowhere near that. But not now, not at this point. But okay. You know, that's one of the reasons I have, you know, because I really regret the fact we've got 30 minutes to talk here, because
well,
if
I'll
you're going
you.
Down there, then that brings up. I talk about in my book, which is called Deceptions of the Ages,
mm-hmm.
quote, Mormons, unquote, mm-hmm. Freemasons and extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about the civilization, and I talk about like Latter-day Saint beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about how in Peru, according to some scholars,
mm-hmm.
A civilization basically showed up about 3000 BC, thrived, and then killed itself off. And it's right in a place called Corral, Peru.
Okay.
So when you're talking about the Nazca lines and you know, nobody knows what was going on down there. But one thing that was going on down there is there was some interaction with some aliens and these big-headed red-haired giant people or whatever they were that L.A. Marzulli and Brian Forster are down there working with.
Right, right, exactly, exactly. Well, it's not that expensive to go down. They had a seat sale a few months ago for only $216 U.S. dollars from Vancouver, Canada, all the way down to Lima, Peru. And then once you get down there, the hotels that we stay at, they're nice hotels, and some include meals. They run between about $7 to $10 to $27 a night, maybe a little bit more. I mean, you look at if you spend time down there and then in Peru and then you come back to the States and, you know, they're charging a lot of money for hotels, you kind of miss being down there because the
I know. I've been to Nepal, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll talk it over with my wife, and you know, you have no idea, you know, just because of my I have a degree in history from Washington State University, who I will mention. I left the game because we were losing, and I feel bad we're losing another Apple Cup, but anyway, go Cougs. I have a degree in history, and I just love South American history, and I have a lot of ideas, and there's a lot of information in my book about those cultures that lived down there.
I'll get a copy of your book, and I'll just have you on again so we can talk more time. It's no worries, you know.
Okay.
No worries.
Well, I think you'll be very interested in some of the connections, and then the work that they're doing now with the Polynesian culture.
Okay. You know?
It's very interesting in their connections to South America. So who knows what was going on? And then that goes into what you're talking about with your Lemuria, you know, because, you know, maybe this could be a remnant of that long lost civilization. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There was even one story I read about last year where there was a Japanese explorer in the 14th or 15th century that made it. He made his way all the way over to the other side, to Peru, got stranded, ended up intermarrying with the locals there, and then they did DNA tests, and they were able to prove that the DNA of some of the people in that area along this coastal part of Peru actually came from Japan, which was pretty amazing, I think. So,
yeah, isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you're talking about Mount Shasta, did you happen to check out my video? I'm sure you don't have time, but
I think I did listen to part of it. I could pull it up now.
Well,
let me see.
I just wanted to mention that a couple of things, and one was that we were in the shop on that video. There's the name of the shop on it, and I can't remember what it is right now, but it's purple on the sign, and there's a beautiful lady working in there, and she told us she showed us these, or not really us, she took me aside and she showed me these pictures of these South American shaman were here and they were doing their thing, and these people took pictures of them, and in the picture there's these like square headed things, people.
Oh,
you know,
really, how interesting.
And those are the Lemurians. Yeah, that's in that video, the picture is
okay. I missed that. Yeah, I'll watch
it. If you go I'm sorry, if you go to her shop and you are nice to her, I'm sure she will also show you those. But it's pretty fascinating.
Oh, how interesting. Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. I did see some fascinating things about, and pictures as well, about Sasquatch that you made near Snoqualmie Falls, Washington. Tell me a little bit about it. You have a photo of mystery. What's the dark figure across the water? It looks like a Sasquatch.
That was just one of the things I do investigations. And I think that I should explain a little bit more about what I'm doing here. I do a podcast and a YouTube channel.
Right.
And what I do is I do like interview people, and people interview me like you're doing. And I also do investigations, and I go out with people who investigate UFOs, like I go out with the UFO I-team. I'm going to start going out with the Olympic Project on their investigation. So like I do it, I do everything. Like I do like podcasts, but I'm also out in the field doing research with people and letting them get their research publicized.
Oh,
so
nice.
So that's where I'm doing. And I, you know, I'm okay. I love camping, and I'm, you know, okay in the woods. I've been in the woods all my life, so it's just kind of natural for me, and it's fun too. So, and just the interest in UFOs and Bigfoot. We did some great research last summer down at the Yosemite Ranch.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Have you been down to that?
Oh yeah, I've been there several times. Fascinating
okay.
place, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Tell us about your experience at Yosemite. That's a great place.
Oh, it was fascinating. I went down there to interview Michael Hall, the paranormal lawyer.
Oh yeah, right.
And I met him and the team, and they decided after some debate that they would allow me to, you know, kind of be a member. But it was fun, and I got to interview Mike because he was getting ready to go down to Storm Area 51 thing. So. Mm-hmm. So that was fun, and we talked about the UFO I team and whether disclosure is on the way. So it was fascinating. And then that night, the UFOs came out, and they have got so much equipment, and they have these little devices where they can tell if it's a satellite or the space lab or whatever. And so you can tell the UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw five really, really good ones. But the best one I saw was we were camping the next night outside of Mount Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw something that looked like a diamond necklace just drop down from behind the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so amazing because it just kind of floated there. And I'm ex-military, and I was telling somebody at the Sasquatch Summit, and he says, oh, those were probably flares from Yakima, the firing range. Really? Well, they don't fire flares during the day.
Right.
And I would have known flares. I've been around for 4 years when I was in the Army. So I know those weren't flares.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a chandelier almost. And it was so beautiful. And it just sat right down behind the mountain.
Yeah.
And this campground was full of people mm-hmm. that were watching it. So mm-hmm. it was pretty amazing.
I know that when I was there a couple of years ago, we actually got visited by a group of Pleiadians, and you could actually see them shimmering in the higher dimensions around us, and they gave us a healing. But it's an amazing place. He said it's a great place. Yeah, it's a fun place. There was a lady, I remember talking to this lady. No, we were in a group of people walking back to the campground at Yosemite, and we could see, it's a true story, Matt, we could see the grass going down in front of us as the Sasquatch, who was in a different dimension, probably the fifth dimension, was actually walking right ahead of us, and you could see the grass go down where the Sasquatch was walking, but there was nothing there in the third dimension. You could see, you could see the prints of the Sasquatch going pushing these grasses down as he was walking in front of us. And it's absolutely amazing. And then what happened is that this one lady took a picture. I don't have it. I don't think I've got that picture, but she took a picture with her cell phone of the area where she saw these grasses going down in this field. And she saw the red eyes of her cell phone actually captured these red eyes looking back at her. That was pretty amazing. I tell you, I might have that picture. I'd have to look for it. But she took a picture of that, and you couldn't see the red eyes visibly, except she was able to take a picture. I'll find it. If I can find it, I'll send it to you.
I hope she doesn't Photoshop. You know how you can Photoshop that red eye out? She probably doesn't want to do that in this case.
Yeah, no, she didn't.
I heard a lot of stories.
Uh-huh.
I didn't see any Bigfoot when I was down there, but I saw a lot of, or I mean, I heard a lot of stories about them just walking out with that prayer. That I think it's a prayer circle where that is.
Right. Oh, I know where that is. Yeah.
Just walking right across there. So
sure.
We're actually talking about. I'm trying to get some UFO investigators and the UFO I team down there together to do some investigations.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be pretty cool.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Yeah, well, let me know when you go. I'd love to go with you.
Yeah, exactly. There's probably going to be a small army. But, you know, I think that, I know these guys, like the UFO I team, you know, Michael, and I don't know if you know about his team, but they have all of this sophisticated gadgetry. They've got FLIR and night vision, and they can send out signals with sound, and they even make their own stuff. So,
oh wow, amazing!
They're really high tech, and you know, and so anyway, these guys over like that are researching on the Olympic Peninsula and stuff. I'd like to, you know, get some kind of a cohort, you know, and because with all that equipment, you could kind of seal off a mountain, you know, a valley.
Oh, sure.
And just have equipment on both sides. And if you've got the right area, you might get something.
Oh.
So, but there's definitely enough people and enough equipment there to do it. So we'll see. We'll see if they want to do it. It's hard to, you know, get all those people together, and there's a lot of egos and whatever. So,
well, we'll see. This time of year, you know, they get snow up there, so they might want to wait till the spring, at least.
Oh, I'm talking about the summer.
Oh, no, summer.
I'm not going out in the – I'll go out in the cold for like a day or two, but I'm talking about like maybe 3 or 4 days.
Okay.
Yeah, and if we could get, you know, if you have connections in the media to get somebody to come and film it, I'm definitely going to be filming it, but somebody else might want to come along too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've got people I know. I could come along. That would be fun. Well, we've got about 9 minutes left, Matt, and I wanted to ask you, what other projects are you working on now? Are you planning any trips in the future other than the Olympics as far as going out to an area and doing some research?
Right now I am so, because I do aliens, Bigfoot and Dogman, I'm just really, I don't have any projects coming up. I'm basically, a slave to whatever is happening.
Okay.
You know, so whatever, if there's a news, if there's, something going on in, like an event coming up or something like that, I'll cover it. But generally I just like to get my, you know, keep my guests on my podcast. And then, you know, it's winter and this is the Northwest. And in the summer, spring and summer, then I'll go out and start doing more field stuff. So that's just generally how it does or how it works. And I started this last April. I've only been doing this for a little over 6 months now. So it's all pretty new to me.
Oh, how fun. How fun. Tell me a little bit, have you had any encounters with Dogman? Or and what's the difference between Dogman and Sasquatch?
Well, the Dogman, I had never even heard of a Dogman, although I may have had an encounter when I was in the Army down at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. But it was just kind of a weird screaming sound. And some people, the people that do Dogman say, well, that really does sound like a Dogman, but it sounded like a woman being attacked or just screaming just a little ways off from me. And I'm sitting alone. We're out on patrol and I'm just kind of sitting there by myself waiting for my platoon. But anyway, nothing happened. I moved off and that was the only like encounter I had. But when I started listening to this Dogman radio or Dogman Encounters with Vic Cundiff and how that was going on in Michigan and in Minnesota and down south, it just fascinated me. And it's not a Bigfoot, it's a big wolf. And I actually am spearheading a movement to change it from Dogman to Wolfen. Not having a lot of success.
Interesting.
But it was the first year this year.
Interesting. One of the.
But anyway, it's a you know, this creature that. Everything, and this is why I do this podcast. And in case people are wondering, why are you doing Encounters USA? Because forever, aliens people were separate from Bigfoot people. And of course, Dogman people were way out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't want anything to do with each other. But the fact of the matter is, you have to back up and you have to look at the big picture. And when you do that, you see, it's all connected. It's all got something to do with electromagnetism. It's got something to do with portals. It's got something to do with dimensions and travel in and out. And so nobody's talking. Everybody's still, well, do you believe in it? You know, but the fact of the matter is you have to apply the science. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I have heard, I wanted to share this with you, that Sasquatch actually means wild man. And the Sasquatch themselves like to be called chartreuse. That's what I've been told. I don't know if you've heard that or not, but that's what I've
I heard that from you at the summit.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'd heard. So, yeah, they don't like to be thought of wild men.
chartreuse?
Chartreuse, yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah, yeah, that's I heard that from the Hollow Earth people, that they like to be called chartreuse. So,
Ted, so do you have some kind of insight? Do you know who they are? Because I've been asking everybody, who are they? Where are they from?
Yeah, yeah. They're actually, they were here before Atlantis. They're about 300,000, 400,000 years old, probably about 300,000 years old. They were an attempt by a benevolent extraterrestrial human species to jumpstart our evolution here on planet Earth. And what they decided to do is mix their genes, create a hybrid benevolent extraterrestrial. They mix their the advanced human, the extraterrestrials, mix their genes with a giant ancient sloth that went extinct about 200,000 years ago. And so there's four distinct species from what I know of the Sasquatch. the ones that who look like us, except they've got fine fur all over their body, but other than that, they are human, are called the Ancient Ones. And then there's three more species beyond that, subspecies, where they get progressively hairier. And if they have the more genes they have from this ancient sloth, the more hairier they are. And they're more like this ancient sloth, but less human. But that's what I know. Progeny, produced from a pair from one of the ancient ones or any of the other three subspecies of Sasquatch and a human, does produce viable children. And there are Native American legends of offspring produced by Indians here in Washington as well as in western Montana of this hybrid children. And kids that are the kids are have extra hair on them. They have hairy chests and lots of hair around their head and everything. But in all other respects, they're human. So it's I'll get you some more information. That's what I heard years ago regarding the history of the chartreuse.
Well, that's amazing, and I'd sure like to find out if I know we don't have time, but if that Melba Ketchum study had any sloth DNA. In it,
Oh yeah, yeah. Actually, at our campsite at Mount Shasta last year, I was able to get some feces from a Sasquatch, as well as food that they'd eaten. There was Sasquatch saliva on it, so I've got that frozen. If you know of a good scientist, I can send that to. I'd love to have that analyzed somewhere. So just let me know.
Okay. I would. Yeah, I've got Dr. Meldrum's email address.
Okay.
I don't know if that would be where you'd want to go with it, but
sure.
Anyway, just because you're going to be telling him, well, this is Sasquatch, and then you're basically tainting the sample by, and yeah, I don't know. I think academics are not going to ever tell you what it really is, so yeah. I don't know if that would be the best place to take it, but he might be a good start to suggest someplace.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's talk off.
That would be objective.
Sure. Well, let's talk off to the air after we've got, and I'd love to have you back on again. We've got about, we're running short on time. Well, listen, Matt, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. I will have you on again after I read your book, and I know I'll have a lot more questions. Your website is www.encountersusa.com. And thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Ted, and you have a super day.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. That was Matt Hines, Paranormal Research. And please, everyone, please visit his website at EncountersUSA.com. Thank you, Matt, so much, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your beautiful family.
Same to you, too, Ted.
Okay. Thanks, Matt, so much. We'll have you on again. And with that, I'd like to play The Fifth Dimension, Aquarius by The Fifth Dimension. That's first. We'll just end it up. Today's show with this, and I want to thank everyone so much for listening today, and to let you know that we do have a really beautiful and bright future ahead of us. And I hope everyone has a wonderful and happy weekend, and thank you again so much for listening and supporting Out of This World Radio. Together we can create a much better and happier world. Bye-bye, everyone.